brought to you by Penguin.
Modern Lovers by Emma Straub. Read for you by Jen Tullock. If I could settle down, then I would settle down. Pavement. You can't help yourself, but neither can we. Together, mighty past, we dominate things. Kenneth Coke. Part 1. Ruby Tuesday. Mary Ann O'Connell Real Estate, new listing. Gorgeous 5-bedroom Victorian showstopper in prime Ditmas Park. Many original details, including pocket doors, moldings, intricately carved grand staircase. Kitchen updated, new roof. WBFP. 2-car garage. Gracious living in the heart of the neighborhood. Close to shopping and fine dining on Cortelia Road. Close to trains. A must-see. Chapter 1. In June, the book club was at Zoe's house, which meant that Elizabeth had to carry her heavy ceramic bowl of spinach salad with walnuts and bits of crumbled goat cheese, a grand total of half a block. She didn't even have to cross the street. None of the dozen women in the group had to travel far, that was the point. It was hard enough to coordinate schedules and read a novel, though only half the group ever finished anything, without asking people to get on the subway. Make plans with your real friends on your own time. Drive your car across the borough to have dinner if you want to, but this was the neighborhood. This was easy. It was the last meeting before the annual summer hiatus. Elizabeth had sold houses to 6 of the 12. She had a vested interest in keeping them happy, though in truth, it was also good when people gave up on Brooklyn and decided to move to the suburbs or back to wherever they came from, because then she got a double commission. Elizabeth liked her job. Of course, even if the rest of the book club was composed of neighbors who might not otherwise have crossed paths, she and Zoe were different. They were old friends, best friends, really, though Elizabeth might not say that in front of Zoe, for fear that she would laugh at the phrase for being juvenile. They'd lived together after college, way back in the Stone Age, in this very same house, sharing the rambling Victorian with Elizabeth's boyfriend, now husband, and 2 guys who had lived in their co-op at Oberlin. It was always nice to carry a big bowl of something homemade over to Zoe's house because it felt like being back in that potluck-rich, money-poor twilight zone known as one's 20s. Ditmas Park was 100 miles from Manhattan, in reality 7, a tiny little cluster of Victorian houses that could have existed anywhere in the United States, with Prospect Park's parade grounds to the north and Brooklyn College to the south. Their other friends from school were moving into walk-up apartments in the East Village, or into beautiful brownstones in Park Slope, on the other side of the vast green park. But the 3 of them had fallen in love with the idea of a house, and so there they were, sandwiched between old Italian ladies and the projects. When their lease was up, Zoe's parents, an African-American couple who'd made their tidy fortune as a disco duo, bought the place for her. 7 bedrooms, 3 baths, center hall, driveway, garage. It cost $150,000. The moldy carpet and the layers of lead paint were free. Elizabeth and Andrew weren't married yet, let alone sharing a bank account, and so they sent their separate rent checks to Zoe's parents back in Los Angeles. Zoe had borrowed more money to fix it up over the years, but the mortgage was paid. Elizabeth and Andrew moved a few blocks over for a while, all the way to Stratford, and then, when their son Harry was 4, a dozen years ago, bought a house 3 doors down. Zoe's house was now worth $2 million, maybe more. Elizabeth felt a little zip up her spine thinking about it. Neither Elizabeth nor Zoe thought they'd still be in the neighborhood so many years later, but it had never been the right time to leave. Elizabeth walked up the steps to the wide porch and peered in the window. She was the first to arrive, as usual. The dining room was ready, the table set. Zoe pushed through the swinging door from the kitchen, a bottle of wine in each hand. She exhaled upward, trying in vain to blow a lone curl out of her eye. Zoe was wearing tight blue jeans and a threadbare camisole, with a complicated pile of necklaces clacking against her chest. It didn't matter if Elizabeth went shopping with Zoe, to the consignment shops she frequented, and to the small, precious boutiques she liked. Nothing ever fit Elizabeth the way it fit Zoe. She was as preternaturally cool at 45 as she'd been at 18. Elizabeth knocked on the window and then waved when Zoe looked up and smiled.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?